My father was someone who loved boats. Now, last night I started by saying my father was a boat person. I realized that was not the right way to say that. Felt like I came from Vietnam. He had a number of boats over the years, and I was a disappointment to him because just the sight of a boat makes me seasick. It makes me wonder, I'm going on this pilgrimage, which is partly on a boat, so I've got the wristbands and the medicine and the patches, and I'm going to close my eyes and hope for the best. But my father had a number of boats. The one that we remember the most in the family was a yawl. For those of you who aren't familiar with boating, a yawl is it's designed for speed. His boat was long and slim. It had an extra tall mast, which meant with the larger sail it would go faster. And because it was a racing boat and had won awards before my father bought it, it had an extra 2,000-pound racing keel that was stuck to the bottom of the boat. That's an unusually heavy keel, and it meant that you could do a lot with this boat. My father used to go, he had it moored in Long Beach, California, and he would sail it to Catalina. I didn't know how far that was. Somebody told me at the last mass it's 24 miles. Or 26 miles. So it's a 26-mile sail, and my father was one of these people that said he didn't need a boating lesson. Thank you very much, you know, that kind of thing. And one can get away with that sometimes for a long time, but there's a spot on this journey in which you can't see the land that you came from, the mainland, and you can't see the island before you. It's just all water, which is a little scary. So you have to be able to read a compass and know exactly where you're going. Well, on one of my father's journeys, when he was in that no man's land, the worst possible thing almost happened. That 2,000-pound racing keel came off. However, the mast with the sail was still very much up. And so, I don't know, my father realized it had come off. I don't think he really knew what happened until they got back. But he lowered the sail immediately, and he said it took him 18 hours to get home. I think he used his motor for most of the way. And he, not unfittingly, the name of this boat was called the Panic. And I asked him how he got home, and he told me, very carefully, you know, and slowly. Jesus uses boats and boat analogies a lot in the Gospels. And I think even though he didn't use it today, I think it fits in really well. You know, four of his disciples, at least, were fishermen. He often preached from a boat. We frequently see him along the shores of the Sea of Galilee or walking on, or disciples have panics of themselves in their boat. Jesus, I think really all of us, to use that analogy, we're all in a boat, almost as if we all have our own little boats. And you get to a certain point in life when you can't see the mainland anymore. I suppose at a children's mass, some of us are pretty close to the launching dock, you know, but at some point we find ourselves at sea. We don't see where we're going yet, but where we came from is way in the past. And you need to have good directions, or you might go in the wrong direction. So our Lord gives us certain instructions that if we listen to him, we will be like a wise sailor who got the instructions. What are some of the benefits that Christ asks us? He says, if you keep my commandments, you are the one who loves me. Notice he does not say, if you feel good about me, you love me. If you see me, you love me. If I'm giving something to you, you know I love you. It's not on those levels, especially not on feelings. He said, if you're keeping my commandments, then you love me. Very simple and straightforward. Very hard to do sometimes. If we are trying to love God and our neighbor, the two great commandments, what will be the benefits? The first is that Jesus promised to be with us always. He said, don't be afraid. I will come to you. He didn't notice he's not saying the keel will never fall off the boat in your life. He's not saying we won't get lost. He's not saying it won't be scary. He's saying, I will be with you. You keep my commandments. I will be with you in the boat. That's a really good thing to have, because Christ, after all, designed the boat, as well as the weather that we're suffering through. Isn't it good to have the maker of the boat on board? How foolish to throw him overboard. And he tells us also, I will give you direction. I will give you the compass points. My father had some kind of a thing that he used to I forget what it was now, it made a funny noise. But I will give you the directions so that you can find your way. You know, around us are a lot of people who don't have the Bible or the Lord's church to give them directions. We have both of these things to help us on our journey. How foolish if we don't listen. Other people have other guidebooks, and for a while it seems as though they know more than we do. If you do certain things, your boat will go faster. But they're going in the wrong direction. They get the applause of the world because they're winning speeding races, but they're headed off away from the island, you see, because they don't have the right directions. They're relying only on themselves. They look smart, but it's not smart in the end. Other people have listened to other guides. Those guides tell them there is no land. All you had is where you left. You're not going anywhere, so live it up. Use all your supplies, because this world is all you've got. They're wrong too. There is land. It's covered with fog. We won't see it till we're right up on it, but it's there. We know from Christ that we have a destination, and it's heaven. The boat is actually something to get us there. It's not the place where we live forever. We should never forget that. We're in a boat. We are not home. None of us are. It's a very critical lesson. He says, but I will come to you if you keep my commandments. And he'll be with us in those times when life is tough, which came to my father that day, and it comes to all of us when the keel falls off the boat. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I was thinking about this incident occurred in one of my previous parishes. When I arrived there, I became aware of the fact that a certain number of parishioners were talking about a certain couple of parishioners who were receiving communion and they shouldn't have been. Now, there's two problems with this. One is maybe people should have been thinking about their own souls a little bit. You know what I mean? And why were they talking about these people? But the other issue was, had anybody ever told these people that they shouldn't be receiving communion? I won't go into it. There's a lot of reasons why one might need to go to confession before receiving communion. But I remember I took one of the two aside, and I said, you know, a lot of people are talking about this, and I don't know if you realize it, but you really shouldn't be receiving communion. Well, that started World War III. What that person's reaction was, and perhaps I should have just said it in a homily and not taken them aside, I don't know. I still wonder about it, but the result of it was, the next Sunday, that person was front and center and made sure they always received communion from me to let me know that they completely rejected church teaching and what I had said to them. It was in my face for the whole time I was there. Because I don't refuse communion to anyone unless the bishop says so. But I ask myself then, and now, whom do I love? Do I love others? Do I love God? Or do I love only myself and my own will? God is more glorified by obedience than by any other act. The obedience of the present moment. We can never go wrong by steering by those two great commandments, which we hear so frequently, love your neighbor and love your God. If we're following those two stars, we will reach our destination. Christ reminds us of it often for a reason. He says, don't throw out the manual on how to sail. Don't throw out the maker of the boat. Don't just follow your own will it may look sunny over there, but that's not the way you're supposed to go. He may steer us straight into the storm, but that's where the land is. Getting through that storm is what will make us fully ourselves. By dying to ourselves, by loving someone other than our own will, we become who we really are. But that takes grace. We have to be able to listen to the maker of the boat. And so our Lord then invites us to listen to him as we sail in this brief life, this sea. He tells us, if you are following me and my commandments, you will be loved by my Father and the Spirit and myself, and you will never need to be in a panic.